was a promise that I would like to speak about this morning that the Lord made to one of his servants in the Old Testament. You remember how the story was of how Jacob, who was called Israel, after that dreadful night that he wrestled with the Lord until the breaking of the day. And after that, Israel was blessed to have 12 sons. And these 12 sons were going to be from four different ladies, his two wives and both of their handmaidens, Leah and Rachel. And Rachel was going to have two children, two young boys. And she goes the way of all of the earth because she was in great travail. And after this, who was the son of his old age, Joseph, was sold down into Egypt. Now, there's a world of preaching in that story, but I want to pick up here this morning where Joseph is in Egypt and he's been sold of his brethren for 20 pieces of silver. And Joseph is down in Egypt and he's been cast into a prison. And you remember exactly why Joseph was cast into a prison? He was sold into the house of a man named Potiphar. And this man named Potiphar was a right-hand man to the Pharaoh of Egypt. And everything that that Joseph was going to do, it was going to be blessed of the Lord. And there's one phrase that I want you to bear in mind as we go through this account, that the Bible says that the Lord was with him. So everything that befalls this brother in Egypt, the Lord was with him there. And Egypt, as we go through the Old Testament, is a type and shadow, or is a figure of the time world in which we live. The world around us that waxes worse and worse. The world that is no friend to the child of grace. That's exactly what Egypt represented in the Old Testament there. And you will find many times throughout the scripture that every time that someone went to Egypt, that they were always going what direction? There you go. They were always going down into Egypt. Well, just like the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, this Joseph, who was a strong type and shadow, was going to spend some time in Egypt. You remember when the father and mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, they fled to that place when the decree from Herod came. Well, in this instance here, Joseph is sold into this place, and he's there, and he's down in the house of a man named Potiphar. And he begins to work and do many wonderful things to serve his master, talking about lowercase m now, who was Potiphar in that day. But I'll tell you, friends, that just like the world in which we live, with success a lot of times comes great envy from those around. And you remember how it was of how those Philistines envied the children of Israel in so much that they stopped up the wells of Abraham. Joseph's brethren envied him so much that they plotted against him to take his life. And when they did not, his older brother spoke up and said, "Why don't we just sell him that way? We can make some profit, but we'll save his life." And the cause of their envy for his coat of many colors and the favor that his father shone, his brethren conspired against him to sell him and get him out of their hair, so to speak. And I'm telling you, friends, whenever success comes, or whenever you feel to be blessed of the Lord and it looks like things are going well, rest assured there may be some envy on the part of others, because in this instance here, what you'll find is there was a wife of this man named Potiphar, and her eye was set towards Joseph, that she desired him. Now listen, friends, I've seen this be the downfall. I'm going to hit home real quick here. I've seen this be the downfall of a lot of good, God-fearing young men in this world who seem to have a good education, that dressed well, that worked well, and that seemed to make a pretty good living for themselves. It went this way, that some lady, their eye was set towards them, that they desired them so, and they desired to lie with them, and all of the things that pertains to that. And I've seen young men in the world in which you live and I live totally ruin their reputation and their standing in the church of the living God because they gave in to that. That's happened. I'm not asking for names and addresses this morning, because I know folks that's happened to, and probably so to you if you're being honest. But there's a danger in that, friends. But you know what you can always do? You know what you can always do? This is one of the hardest things. There's some younger ones here today, and there's maybe even some younger little ones here today that may not even remember, probably don't even know I'm up here right now, but one of these days when they grow up, you can tell them I said so. You can always say no. You with me? You can always tell them no. That's a difficult thing for young folks to do, because nowadays where we're living in the United States in 2017, we got peer pressure. Yeah, that peer pressure can be pretty tough sometimes. But you know what you can always do? You can always say no. And Joseph said no to Potiphar's wife's advances, in so much that when she desired to lie with him, he fled that place. You know what's a good thing to do whenever you're someplace where there's some kind of wickedness going on? Run away. Flee. Get to the rock that is higher than high. Just get out of that place as quick as you can. Because, friends, if there's nothing good going on there, run to the house of God. You know what the Bible says in the Old Testament? We're to run to the city of refuge. I believe the Church of the Living God represents that to us in this time world today. Let's run here instead of running toward the world. Joseph said no, and he ran. He fled out of that place. But you remember how it was. How it was that Potiphar's wife, she grabbed a hold of him. And you remember he still fled, didn't he? It didn't stop him from fleeing. But you remember what Joseph left behind. He left his coat. His coat come off in her hands. And when Potiphar come home, and even after Joseph fled, she began hollering and yelling to the men of the house and things of that nature. And when Joseph fled and he would not give in to her advances, she told a lie on that boy. Let me tell you this, just for good measure today. Young men, listen real close. Old men too, for that matter. You're living in a society where if you're a man and if there's some sort of domestic dispute, you're going to be presumed guilty in the public eye unless you have some kind of proof. Let's get real, right? All of a sudden, they come in. Potiphar gets home, and she's got his coat. Now, I've done watched enough forensic files to know that whenever a wife wants a husband gone, she'll plot something on him, and she'll call, and she'll act like she'll cry, and she'll fuss and all this, and everybody believes her. This instance here, the old damsel in distress routine worked like a charm. And you remember where Joseph wound up when Potiphar got home? He wound up in prison. He wound up in prison because he had done nothing wrong. He said no and he fled. Brother Ricky Harcrow, that some of y'all know and love, I've heard him say one time, it's better to lose his coat than his character. I thought pretty good, wasn't it? He fled and he got placed into prison because he'd done nothing wrong. Well, friends, I'm telling you, Joseph was a strong type and shadow of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you remember where Jesus Christ wound up over there? He wound up in prison, didn't he? What was he guilty of? He'd done nothing wrong. Even the very man that questioning Pilate come forth saying, in this man I find no reason he should die. There's no guile in his mouth. And Joseph's in a prison over here because somebody told something on him that wasn't so. And all of a sudden he runs across two different individuals while he's in the bowels of that prison. And he runs across a butler and he runs across a baker. And both of them began to have dreams. And Joseph is the only one who can interpret those dreams. And he tells the butler, your dream is on this one. You're going to be restored to your former office. And to the baker, your dream is on this wise. You're going to be beheaded this day. And you'll not see that office of your former glory again. And lo and behold, it happened just that way. I'm glad, aren't you, that the things that the Lord says happens and it comes to pass just as he says so. In this instance here, what you'll find is Joseph's down there in Egypt and Pharaoh begins to have a dream. After the butler is done raised back to his former status, he's the butler of the Pharaoh of that land. And all of a sudden, Pharaoh begins to have dreams that troubles his heart and his soul. And he begins to call on all of the sorcerers and all of the magicians and things and astrologers and things of that nature. And dear friends, I'm telling you, none of them could satisfy and give a just answer as to the dream that troubled him so.
low, and if you feel lost, and if you feel like a wretch in this world, if you feel poor, weak, and worthless, you'll never find anything in the wisdom of man's religion that'll feed your soul. You'll never find anything that'll give justice to that which hungers and thirsts after righteousness. Save the gospel of salvation by grace. Save the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Save the preaching of the finished work of the glorious Son of God. Because that's what feeds our souls and keeps us going and gives us strength renewed to go from day to day in this world. I'm telling you, friends, it works that way with me. And I may have the same experience as many of you. Well, all of a sudden, the butler remembers. He says, this is my fault, Pharaoh. This one's on me. I finally remembered now. I remember that one that I left back there in prayer. I was supposed to tell you about him, but I forgot. Yeah, I was so excited, you know. Well, there's one down there in the prison that can interpret dreams. Pharaoh says, well, bring him up hither. And they get Joseph and they clean him up real good. And they bring him in before the Pharaoh. And he tells them what manner of dream he has and the interpretation thereof. And he tells them this is the interpretation, whether it's the one of the calves or the other one. He says, this is the interpretation. You're going to have 7 years of good and 7 years of surplus, but you better get ready, because directly after that, you're going to have 7 years of famine. And if you do not lay up in that 7 years of good, you won't have nothing for the 7 years of famine. And you and all your folks down here in Egypt, you'll done starve out. Friends, I'm telling you, I don't like to starve out, do you? You don't like to starve out. You can tell by looking at me, I don't like to starve out. I don't like starving out. You know, that famine was going to come. It was sure, because God said it would. And I'm telling you, we're living in a world today that besides the household of faith, there's nowhere I can go to get a good meal and hear the gospel of my salvation preached. There's nowhere else that teaches the morality, and I will give credit where credit's due. In years gone by, there are other orders of people that took a strong stance on morality. I'll give some other folks that in the world, but you know, we're living in 2017, and I'm seeing that go by the wayside. You can agree or disagree. You know it's true. You might say, well, shouldn't be talking about that. I got friends, and my grandchildren go over there. Well, listen, friends. My wife come out of the Episcopalian church. And I'm telling you, from the time she grew up to now, they've changed almost 180 degrees from what they used to be. You know, they're not only ordaining ladies to be bishops, they're ordaining lesbian ladies to be bishops. And that's where a lot of folks in this country go to get their spiritual nourishment. No wonder there's a famine in the land. It's real. As my high schoolers say, I teach in a ghetto. They say, real talk, bro. That's what that is. That's real talk. Over here, you find this man named Joseph, and he's going to interpret the Pharaoh's dream. And he tells him he's going to be 7 years of good, but you better make sure you lay up, because 7 years of famine's coming. And hard times isn't when you go through the McDonald's window and they leave out a biscuit out of your order. That's not hard times. And if you react like that's hard times, what are you going to do when real trouble comes? There's going to be trouble. There's going to be famine. There's going to be starvation in this land. It's going to be all throughout that part of the earth in that day. Joseph says, you better lay up what you can. And I'm telling you just some good old down-home advice from a fellow that's been there and done that. Young men today, if your savings when you get married is nil to nothing, you're going to have some hard times. You better be working right now. Well, I like playing my video games. If you're young and you're healthy and you're going to college, you ought to be working a full-time job on top of that. If you're young and you're healthy and you're not, you need to be working two jobs on top of that. And you need to be trying to lay up something whereby you can have something one of these days. When it comes time for you to get married and settle down, you need to be storing up right now. Because I'm telling you, one of these days, hard times may come. If it's never happened to you, then God bless your soul. But I'm telling you, friends, in my life, we've experienced times when we've needed that which we've saved up the month before. You may think you never will. You may not see 2 foot in front of your face. But I'm telling you, life is real and it happens fast. And when you have to spend 2 or 3 or 4 days in a children's hospital and you get bill on top of bill on top of bill and they come in from every which way, from Sunday, for the next 3 months, I'm telling you, friends, you'll probably need those things which you've saved up. Take the example of Joseph, what he gave to Pharaoh over here. You save up what you can while you can, because there may come a day when you need it. You just take care, just mark that down for good sound wisdom and advice. Oh, Pharaoh says, I'll tell you what, that's good advice. We'll start storing up in the 7 years of good. And lo and behold, the advice rung true, because when the famine came, Egypt was the only place that had corn and provender enough, in so much that they could feed their own population. And the folks that lived in the areas round about, they had to go down into Egypt for help to get a little bit of grain. And guess who come crawling to brother? Oh, you remember Joseph's dream that got him in trouble in the first place way over yonder. You remember Joseph's dream that he told to his brethren that made him so mad that their eye was set against him. He said, I see your sheep bowing down to mine, and I see you're in the dust of the ground, and I see me lifted up. Friends, and his brothers got so mad and said, well, you're the youngest. Well, we're older than you. How is it that we should bow down and give obeisance unto you? I'm telling you, friends, it's fixing to come to pass. Just as the old boy dreamed. Because I'm telling you, friends, when those brothers come down, I find in there where they bow down to the dust of the earth. And I find that dream coming true. They're over there and they're begging some grain. But they don't know who brother is at that point. They don't recognize him as being Joseph. And I'll read here. I told you we'd get Genesis chapter 42. And I'll read verses number 7 and 8. Now, we're going to get to that promise before I'm done here in just a moment. It says, Genesis 42, verse 7, it says, and Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, whence come ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. I'm telling you, friends, it works the same way with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He knows everyone of them that are his. They may not ever set foot in a primitive Baptist church. They may not ever hear me preach. They may not ever hear your pastor preach. They may never sit under the sound of palms of victory or those songs you sang this morning. But if God knew them and foreknew them before the foundation of the world, they'll be just as happy in heaven as me and you. Why? Because of the God in heaven that said so. He knew his own brethren, but they knew him not. Now he goes on and tells the servants there, oh, pack their sacks out and go ahead and put that money back in there, send them home. And they come back to him and they say, whoa, wait a minute now. We left you these goods and we left you these jewels to pay for this grain. It's not good that we still have it in our sacks. There's been a misunderstanding. Do you know that the Lord is better to us than we deserve? You know that? Lord's been better to us than we deserve. And sometimes you may only come in with a farthing. Sometimes you may come into the house of God just shaking like a leaf. And sometimes you may come in, friends, with nothing to offer because you've been broke down by the vain elements of this world, only to lift our voices up to heaven and say, thank you, Lord, for pitying and loving such a poor sinner as me. And I'm telling you, if you come with that attitude and that prayerful heart and mind, you can leave the old Baptist meeting house shouting and happy, because you're going to get told just exactly what we are by our nature. Sinners, not worthy of the least of the riches of God's grace, but he saw fit to give it to us anyway. Oh, and they come back and he says, bring my brother down here next time when you come. And they go back and they're going to bring Benjamin down. Remember the younger brother Benjamin? And you remember Israel's reaction to that. Jacob, he said, I'll not send Benjamin. Benjamin, he's the only son I have left that was from my darling Rachel that died, bringing him into the world. I'll not send him. I've done lost Joseph, and I'm not going to send him away too. Oh, and you remember whom he stood up and he said, Judah stood up, he said, I'll be surety for him. Yeah, the elder brother was going to be surety for the younger. Oh, rest assured, your elder brother was surety for me and you, wasn't he? Jesus Christ was our surety. He even said so. You know what surety is? And suretyship, that means you owed a debt. And I owed a debt. And I didn't have nothing to pay with. And whoever was the surety for me, was the one who was going to step in and pay the debt on our behalf. And our elder brother, the legal representative for the family, he was surety for me and you. And they come back and they say, Dad,
Dad, you got to come down to Egypt. Oh, Joseph, he wants to see you. And you remember Israel's reaction? He said, he's not going to go. I'm too old. I'm not able. I'm old. I'm not able. And lo and behold, if I were to go, something might happen. I might get sick along the way. But do you all remember the promise that God made unto Israel? He said, if you go down, go with me, Genesis chapter 46. The brethren are convincing the father to come see the son. And they have all this evidence. And finally, he says, it is enough. He'll go. Genesis 46 says, and I'll read a few verses here. And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night. He said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. Verse 3, he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. And verse 4 says, I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. Now, you have God making a promise to Israel. Jacob, now, if you go down into Egypt, I will surely bring you out again. Now, either he did it or he didn't do it. I believe he did it, don't you? Now, the skeptic might say, well, Brother Daniel, we see there's contradictions in the Word of God. How so? Well, they might say, well, that man Jacob, now, he died over there in Egypt. Then they had to carry him out back over there to the land of his fathers to bury him in that mountain. And Joseph had to get leave of Pharaoh to go. Oh, but rest assured, Jacob was called Israel in that day. And he said, go down into Egypt and I'll make of thee there a great nation. That's a promise. That sounds to me like they might be going to be there for some time. And what was the children of that man called? They were called the children of Israel. And they're down there in Egypt's land for a space of 400 years. I'm telling you, friends, when 400 years go by, you may get to the point where you think God's done forgot. God's done lost sight. He's done lost sight of that promise that he made. Oh, friends, we serve a God that never forgets. We serve a God who knows all things, declare the end from the beginning, from ancient time, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I'll do all to my pleasure. And after those years of time had gone by, the Lord raised up a young man in the house of Pharaoh himself. His name was Moses, and the Lord was going to use him. In Exodus chapter number 14, read with me there for just a few moments of time by way of closing this morning. In Exodus chapter number 14, what you'll find is the children of Israel, they're being led by a man named Moses, and the Lord's going to bless them to leave that land in the day hours of midnight. And the Bible tells me that there was none of them sick, and there was none of them slumbering, and they all got out of that place. And Moses led the children of Israel. He led them to the south and to the southeast by way of the Red Sea. They went the long route out of that place. They could have went to the north through the Philistines and took the short route to Canaan, but they went the long route because that's the way that God led them to go. They come down to the Red Sea, and old Pharaoh began to look and say, well, I'll tell you what, go and get the army and get after Moses, those children of Israel. The Pharaoh of Egypt, he knew the layout of that land, and he knew what it looked like. He knew when the children of Israel were going toward the Red Sea, that there was a mountain to the south, and a mountain to the north, and a sea in front, and an army to the back. They're in a situation where there's absolutely no deliverance at all, save divine intervention of God Almighty. I'm telling you, when you and I were in our sins and we were afflicted in that manner, there was no deliverance at all from that state, except it be by divine intervention. I'm telling you, friends, God can make ways open up where you don't see ways, and God can make doorways where you see walls. God can remove bars where the old Baptists have put them up. God can bring them to the Red Sea and say, oh, Pharaoh, you think you've done it this time. You think you got them, but you don't outsmart me. Snapped his fingers. All of a sudden, when Moses put the staff in the ground, the waters of the Red Sea walled up like jello, and the children of Israel were delivered through on dry sod to the other side. I'm telling you, friends, this morning, one of these days, you and I, we're going to be delivered to the other side. It's going to be by and through the work of God Almighty. It's going to be by and through the shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Oh, Moses told him here in Exodus chapter number 14. I love these words. He says in verse number 13, they got out there to the Red Sea and they saw the army behind and they saw the sea in front and they began to murmur and complain and say, it would have been better for us to have stayed in Egypt than to come out here in the desert and die. And he tells me in Exodus 14:13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you. What's that word? Today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them no more again forever. Oh, friends, I can get a couple things out of that. First and foremost, there must be a such thing as a timely salvation because he said, you're going to see it today. Yeah, this salvation, you see it right now today. And these Egyptians that are back over there, you're not going to see them anymore again forever. I'm telling you, one of these days, friends, when we pass beyond our sojourning here where we're pilgrims and strangers below, and death's chilly hand comes and our soul and spirit departs to be with the Lord. They say when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. I know that's what Romans says. But you know, the good news is you can do that the other way. When death is finished, so is sin. Yeah, there'll be no sorrow there. One of these days when we cross that foam, we'll not experience the sorrows and the tribulations that is this life anymore again forever. The Egyptians you see today, ye shall see them no more again forever. The Lord will deliver his children one of these days to an eternal, upper and better kingdom. But what I'm concerned with is why we live here. That's what I'm concerned with. I want to be happy and I want to dwell in the kingdom of God and I want to experience that salvation and that joy that we can have in it while we live here in this world, walking hand in hand with Jesus. Bible says, I'll leave this thought, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The things in context there is the things it takes to sustain a natural life in this world, the food and raiment he was just talking about. David said, I've been young and now I'm old, and still have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. If you've seen Jesus Christ high and lifted up in your life, you give him thanks each and every day in which you live and rejoice in the salvation the Lord has granted his people. God bless you, is our prayer.